chapter 15. Imagine for a moment if Jesus had not come. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever seen the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. But in that Christmas movie, there is a man by the name of George Banks who wishes he had never been born. He wishes because of how bad things are going in his life, and according to the movie, George is allowed to see what life would be like had he never occupied Earth. He goes back and he goes through the town that he lives in, and he finds it full of gambling and full of wild living and all of this, and because he never lived, he never made an impact. There was one person who never served in the military, never saved lives because he was not there to rescue him as a boy. And you know, there's a lot of truth to that. You don't realize what your life has impacted and how your life has impacted others. But in thinking of that, it caused me to think and ask the question, the power of one solitary life. What if you had never been born? What would life be like without you? Now, the world would keep on going on, but what would life be like if you had never been on the scenes of time? But then it caused me to ask another question. What would this world have been like had Jesus never come to earth? Now you say, well, Jesus has always been. Yes, he's always been God the Son. But there was a time in history in which God the Son came in the form of a human baby. And we know him as Jesus the Christ. Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13 through 19. Because I want you to listen to what Paul says, and I want you to think with me this morning as we walk closer to the Easter, what if Christ had not come? In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 13 through 19, listen to what Scripture says. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not preached? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead are not dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, yet you're in your sins. Then they also which also fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. In that one passage of Scripture, Paul tries to paint a picture on the minds of the church at Corinth. He said, I want you to stop and think for a moment. If Christ had not come, that is, if he had not come and died for your sins and for my sins. But have you ever stopped to think about it for a moment? What if Christ hadn't come? Sadly, the reality about it is we think so little about the cross, the crucifixion, the death, burial, and the resurrection, that we say, well, life would go on as it is. Well, I want you in your mind's imagination for just a moment, like that story in the Christmas story, the wonderful life, to imagine for just a few moments what this world would be like had Christ not come. Now, I want you to follow along in your outline, because you need to follow along, and also you need to use your vivid imagination, the godly part of your imagination that you can. Because the truth about it is, you and I know Jesus did come. But what if Jesus had not come to this earth? What if Jesus had not walked on this earth like you and I are walking now? What if he had not come in the form of a baby? What if he had not gone to the cross? What if he had not died for your sins and for my sins? Well, Paul says so much that we only have time to get in certain parts this morning. But I want you to follow along. First of all, if Jesus had not come, Scripture makes it very clear that there would be no example of true love, pure love, or perfect love that we would have in this world. You know, one of the things that we look at when you see a Christian, one of the things that's a reality about his or her life is there is a love that God gives to them. We live in a wicked world, and we live in a world of hate and animosity and ill will and ungodliness. But whenever Jesus came to this earth, there was a word that was used that really had been hidden, and it was the word agapeo. Agapeo, or agape love, was an unconditional love. Now you say, well, the world would still have love. No, it wouldn't. Because there's only one person that can give you love. There's only one type of love that can be given to you from God the Father, and that's through a relationship in Jesus Christ. Think about it for a moment. If Jesus Christ had not come to this earth, we would not have any idea of what true, perfect, unconditional love is all about. I don't know if you ever stopped to think about it, but the Bible says that God has an unconditional love for you. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do, what you say. It doesn't matter how you act. The Bible says God loves you unconditionally. That is the way God is. But when you look throughout Scripture and you realize, what if Jesus hadn't come? Well, Paul the Apostle realized the love of Jesus probably as much as anyone in the New Testament. Paul said on the way to Damascus to execute Christians, to get Christians to put them in prison or to kill them, the Lord stopped him. He said, Paul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. Paul realized the love of God in a way probably unlike anyone in his day or maybe even since then because of what he was doing. You know, there would be no loving person on the face of the earth. Can you imagine this? Not a single solitary loving person on the face of the earth. You say, well, yes, there would be. No, there wouldn't. Because you know the verse as simply as I do. The Bible says God is love. Say it with me. God is love. And what that means is this. When you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you're a born-again believer saved by the grace of God, he infused you. He put inside of you love. There are some people you may not agree with, but you love them. There are some people you may not like some of the things they do, but you love them. Because why? Because you're a Christian. But here's the reality. If Jesus hadn't walked on this earth, here's what every one of us would wake up to every day. A cold-hearted, cold, callous world in which there was not a single person that had a loving, kind, caring, gracious spirit. It wouldn't be on the planet earth. Everyone would be out to get only what they could get for themselves. And you'd love, if you could love, you'd love people what you could get out of them. Just like the sinful world. You say, well, there's sinners who have real love. They have a eros love, a selfish love. And they may even have a phileo, a brotherly love. But there's not a sinner on the face of the earth that has the love of God inside of their heart until they come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's simply not there. And if you're here this morning, you say, well, I don't love people. I hate some people. I dislike. Then you need to ask yourself, are you genuinely a Christian? Because God infuses you with love. But imagine Jesus coming on this earth, not coming. There would be nobody that had a loving spirit inside of them. You wouldn't. You wouldn't. You wouldn't. I wouldn't. There wouldn't be a single person who would know what love was all about. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I'm the expression of the Father. And if Jesus wasn't on this earth, you wouldn't have known how he lived, how he walked, how he operated. You know, when you look at that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, you find what life is like whenever things by chance are different. And as I sat studying about this message and searching Scripture, I couldn't even fathom or comprehend how cold life would be. There would be a coldness about the fabric of humanity. There would be a coldness about everywhere you went. You ever gone someplace and it's just cold? There's a coldness about it. There's a cold callousness. That would be the world that you and I would be living in. There would be no one to show love because there wouldn't be anyone that had love. There'd be no one that was a recipient of the love of God because if Jesus hadn't come, there'd be nobody that would be saved. There'd be nobody that'd be redeemed. There'd be nobody that had a different nature on the inside of them. You'd be a cold, callous person. I would be a cold, callous person if Jesus hadn't come on the face of the earth. You know, when you stop and think about it, that's going to be the world of hell. The world of hell is a world of coldness, callousness. The Bible says it's also a place of fire, but can you imagine living in a company, in a region, in a world, for all of eternity where there's no love? There's not a person in hell that loves somebody. There's not a person that, but that would be the world that you and I would be living in. That would be what this life would be like if Jesus hadn't come. Paul makes it very clear. We would of all men be most miserable. And the world that you and I would know would be a day by day by day misery. We wouldn't have anything to look forward to. Think about it for a moment. When you die, if you're a Christian, where are you going? Let's all say it together. Heaven. If Jesus hadn't come, you don't have anything to look forward to. So Paul said, eat, drink, and be merry. Do whatever you want to whatever you want to, however you want to. Do it all and do it as often as you want, because there's nothing beyond this life if Christ hasn't come. If Christ hasn't come, think about it. There's no need not to kill somebody. There's no need not to steal. There's no need not to pillage. There's no need not to do something, because after all, everybody's going to spend eternity in a Christless hell. Can you imagine the murdering and the wickedness? And listen, this world is bad enough the way it is, but if Christ hadn't come, imagine. Nobody has anything to look forward to. If Christ has come, you don't have anything to look forward to. There wouldn't be a church. I wouldn't be standing here. You wouldn't be sitting there, because there'd be no one to turn to. There'd be no one to depend in to take away your sins. Sadly, so many people take for granted the very person of Jesus Christ, and they live as though he didn't come. And those are going to be sadly shocked and sadly awakened. But the very first thing is the coldness and the callousness of the world that we would be living in. But second of all, if Jesus hadn't come, we wouldn't have any idea what God is like. Now, listen to me very carefully. If Jesus had not come, he still would be God. Don't think for a moment that Jesus started out 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, in a crib. He didn't start out there. The Bible says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In other words, he has always been God the Son. There has always and for all of eternity been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But here's what you and I would not have. We wouldn't have someone in earthly form to show us who God is. Whenever you listen to Jesus walking on the face of the earth and talking to his disciples, you listen to Jesus say things like this: if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, to those who listened to Jesus say that, they immediately thought he was blaspheming, because they just couldn't believe that God could be present in a bodily form. But that's what Jesus said. He said, if you look at my life, if you watch me, if you see me, watch how I live and I operate. That's the way the Father lives and operates, because I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now think about it for a moment. If Jesus hadn't come, you wouldn't have any idea what God was like. Now, here's what you would know. You would know somebody created you. You would know that there is some power, some place that created you and brought you into existence, but you wouldn't have the foggiest idea of what he would be like. You wouldn't have any idea if he was loving or hateful, kind or unkind, generous or stingy, because you would have nobody to show it to you. Nobody would be the human expression of that. As a matter of fact, that's why Jesus came. The Bible says that Jesus is himself, the fullness of the Godhead in a bodily form. And sometimes I try to think about that and it blows my mind. Here is Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. Here's Jesus Christ, along with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. And he said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In me dwells all the fullness of God. He is God in the flesh. Now, that causes you to think, in the mind of Jesus, just like a brain that you and I've got, can know everything. You remember what he said to Peter and what he said to Andrew? He said, I saw you before you saw me. And he talks about those who followed. I saw them before they knew what was going on. And you see, you can look at nature, and here's what you can draw conclusions about nature. But see, here's what you'd never know. If Jesus hadn't come, you wouldn't know this simple reality. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the what? Bible tells me so. How do you know Jesus loves you? Well, it's a good little song and I like it. Listen, that is the deepest theological truth in all of the Bible, that God loves you just the way you are. That's the most powerful truth in all the world. Jesus said, I come from the Father. I come to show you that you're loved by God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. How much does God love you? He will pay for your life through the blood of his Son. Don't you ever think for one moment that God doesn't love you, doesn't care for you. Sometimes somebody say, well, I know God has to put up with me. God don't just put up with you. He loves you unconditionally. But if Jesus hadn't come, I wouldn't know how to tell you about God. You wouldn't want to know about God, probably. There'd be nobody that'd want, because the Bible says nobody seeks after God. When you got saved, you didn't seek after God. You say, well, I started asking questions. It wasn't of your initiative. God started causing in your heart and in your mind to seek and to ask and to be inquisitive. You see, you know, you and I can look back 2,000 years and read of Jesus' perfect life on this earth. But here's what we wouldn't have. We wouldn't know God loves us. Now, listen to me real carefully. Haven't you ever had some real bad, difficult days in your life? We all do. We have some tough days, some hard days, and some days that just really are tense days. But there is something that I think about in those days, and I think about this. Father, you know me by name. Amen? He knows you by name. He's not just concerned about your ancestry. He knows you by name. Listen, it took him however long it took so you could be on this earth, because he's infinitely concerned. That's why Jesus came. He said, I came to show you the Father. I came to show you that you're loved. But if Jesus hadn't come, you would have no idea what God is like. You wouldn't have any idea that God loves you. You wouldn't have any idea, because you wouldn't have a perfect life. You wouldn't have the death, the burial, the resurrection. You wouldn't have the crucifixion. You know, somebody says, well, why don't just, you know, God forgive me just anyway? Well, he can't. And that brings us to the next principle. Look at number three. If Jesus hadn't come, there would be no one able to take away the sins of man. Now, listen to me very carefully. You, whether you want to admit it, own up to it, believe it, you are a sinner by nature. And the Bible says in the economy of God, in the book of Ezekiel, before God, here's what must happen to every soul that sins. Ezekiel says, the soul that sinneth, it must what? Die. Why must it die? Because God is holy. God can't look upon sin. God can't have anything to do with sin. That's why, you know, sometimes we say, well, what's wrong with God? Listen, God is a holy God. He cannot change. He is an unchanging, unaltering. That is who God is. And listen, it doesn't matter what you believe about God. You'll never change God. But listen, if you'll allow God, he'll change your mind, your thinking, your way of life, and your way of living. That's what he yearns to do. But see, here's the reality. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 29, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. But imagine for a moment John not seeing Jesus, because Jesus isn't there. Jesus isn't on the earth, and John can't say the Lamb of God. There's no cross, there's no crucifixion. If there's no cross, no crucifixion, there's no Easter, folks. There's no resurrection. There's no resurrection because he didn't come. And if there's no resurrection, you and I are in our sins, and here's the reality of your life. You and I must be put to eternal death by holy God. That is the way it is, because of his holiness. You see, you say, well, couldn't somebody else die for my sins? There's nobody on the earth perfect. You see, here's what it took. It took the perfect, flawless life of Jesus Christ, plus it was an eternal life, and God in one season of time put all the wrath, all the punishment on his life. If he didn't come, folks, there's no person to take away our sins. You and I love that phrase, by his stripes we're healed. By his stripes we're, but if Jesus hadn't come, there's no Lamb of God. And here's the reality. God can't just look at your life and say, I forgive you, Benny. I forgive you, Don. I forgive you, Byron. I forgive. God can't do that. Why can't God do that? Because he makes it clear. In his word, he says, without the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood. See, the thing about it is, you won't hear that from a lot of teaching and preaching, because many people, the blood is foolishness. The blood is, it's not really something you like to talk about. But the Bible makes it very clear, if there is no shedding of blood, you're still in your sins. And if Jesus hadn't come, there's nobody to take away your sins. You say, what's the big problem about that? There's a big problem about that, because it's appointed unto a man to once die. It don't remove the fact that you've got to stand before God in judgment. You see, here's the reality. There are two types of people on the face of the earth. There are those that are saved and those that are unsaved. And really, there's three types. Those that are saved, those that are unsaved, and those that are safe. Those that are safe are those who don't have an awareness. Some people who they're just not mentally, cognitively there, and they don't understand what it is to be saved and don't understand what it is to be lost. And so in the sight of God, they're safe. But here's the reality. For those who are saved and those who are lost, for those who are lost, they're living as though Jesus hasn't come for them. You see, you've heard me say it before, and sometimes we want to think, maybe someday, someplace, somewhere, sometime out there, way in eternity, surely God will have mercy on those that are lost and that have died apart from Jesus Christ. You can't find that in His Word. And His Word is eternal. He says, the soul that sins, it must die. In other words, if I had not placed my faith in Jesus Christ to take away my sins, who came on this earth 2,000 years ago, but if He didn't come to the earth 2,000 years ago, I don't have a hope. So let's live it up. Let's party. Do anything and everything we can. Why? Because every one of us, absolutely every one of us, are consigned to hell if Jesus hasn't come. You don't have anything to look forward to. You don't have anything, any glimmer of hope if Jesus hadn't come. You see, the soul that sins, it has to die. That is a requirement from a holy God. Now, lest you think, well, God, you're being too hard. God didn't make man sin, did He? Man sinned of his own free, deliberate, intentional, purposeful will. Man did what he wanted to do. And you see, the reality about it is, and here's what blows my mind. There are going to be some people in hell because they're going to do what they want to do. Nobody's going to make them place their faith in Christ. Nobody's going to get them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to do what they want to do, how they want to do it. They're going to party till the sun goes down. You can do that. You can live like there's no tomorrow. But I'm here to tell you that at the end of life, you'll pay for it with your soul. Because God Himself said, The soul that sinneth, it must die. And you see, the reality about it is, there's a lot of people who are living as though Jesus hasn't come. There are a lot of people that are walking and talking and moving and breathing, and they're living in such a way they don't really think Jesus has come. And so, if Jesus hasn't come, there's no one to take away the sins of your life. There's no one to take away the sins of my life. You know, there's no one to pray to if Jesus hadn't come. Think about it for a moment. You bow your head, you close your eyes, you pray. If Jesus hasn't come, who are you praying to? If Jesus hasn't come, who are you going to talk to? You don't have a go-between. You don't have someone to talk to if Jesus didn't come. You don't have someone who can forgive you of your sins because He didn't shed His blood. If He didn't shed His blood, then you're in misery. You see, sometimes you and I need to go back and think, what if He hadn't come, to appreciate afresh the cross, to appreciate afresh the crucifixion. You know, there'd be no cross if Jesus hadn't come. What are you looking forward to? And I was thinking, there wouldn't even be a division in history. What year would we be living in? We'd probably be living in the year 68 to 7,000, whatever year close to that. There wouldn't be an AD. This wouldn't be 2013 because there wouldn't be any cross to divide history. And by the way, have you ever noticed how neat it is? God has a way of, don't matter who you are, Spell the word history. H-I-S-T-O-R-Y. His story. It's not your story or my story. It's his story. The whole reality of history is the story of God, the story of man's wickedness, the story of God wooing man, driving man, calling back man back to himself. And that's what history is all about. How man walks away from God, and God in his love woos him, talks to him. But fourthly, if Jesus hadn't come, then here's the reality. I say this as kindly as I can, but it still bites no matter how you look at it. Stings. You're consigned to hell. You are consigned to hell if Jesus hadn't come. Now, you may want to say, Pastor, I try to live the best life I can. And there's a lot of people who are going to believe that their nice life is going to work because we don't want to listen to what our God says. And here's what God says. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness. There's no cancellation. Why do you think in the Old Testament, time after time, year after year, they would bring lambs and bullocks and all sorts of types of animals, and they would slit their neck? I don't know if any of you are watching the TV show The Bible on Sunday nights on the History Channel, but the other Sunday night, the first one, it showed the death angel passing over. And they tried to be as realistic as they could, and they had a little lamb there, and they slit its throat. And I thought, oh, but that's the way it was. Because the death angel was getting ready to pass, and God made it very clear that if he saw blood, he would pass over. If there's no blood applied to your life, you're not going to heaven. You're not going to be saved. And that's the reality. If Jesus hadn't come, you're still in your sins. I'm still in my sins. You don't have any hope. There's no hope anywhere. I can go wherever I want to. If Jesus hadn't come, there's no hope. There's no hope in studying. There's no hope in trying to do the best you can. Now, am I saying that morality is not good? Morality is a wonderful thing. We ought to be kind and generous and gentle. But here's the reality. If you're banking on that to get you to heaven, you're going to be rudely awakened because you're going to miss heaven. You're going to miss the reality. You're going to miss the wonder of it. You know, Scripture says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. You know, what's so amazing to me is how many people toy with their eternity. And you may be one of them. Well, saved or not saved, that's my choice to make. Yes, it is your choice to make. But I'm here to tell you, and you need to try to, if you could stand in the middle of a burning fire and your body could handle it, you don't have even a glimpse of what's getting ready to happen to you if you leave this life without Jesus Christ. That simply is the way it is. And the Bible says it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's exactly why Jesus Christ came. But if he hadn't come, there's no salvation. You may as well get your bags packed for hell. You may as well plan to live for all of eternity with the devil and his demons. You may as well plan on screaming for all of eternity because that's what you're going to endure and that's what you're going to face. It's amazing how many just try to relegate that there's no such place as hell. But have you ever thought about it for a moment? There has to be a hell or God is not holy. Think about it. Imagine Hitler going to heaven and Stalin going to heaven and Mussolini and the worst murder in the world going to heaven with unrepentant hearts and the same place where others who are godly, Billy Graham and Adrian Rogers and some of the men and women who have given their life. There's no just God if everybody goes to heaven. There is no holy God if everybody goes. And that's why you need to take very seriously your soul. Your soul is going to be for all of eternity, and you're going to get a body to go along with it. You're going to have a body if you're a lost person, And you're going to have a body that's going to have the capacity to endure hell for all of eternity. Now, we don't think about it because we don't like to think about negative things. We don't even like to write our last will and testament out because we're afraid it might expedite the time. I had somebody say to me right before the service, said, Benny, I'm going to do your funeral. I said, I hadn't planned on going anywhere yet. But the reality is we don't know. Do you know about your life? The Bible says nobody knows about their life. It's a vapor. Your life is a vapor. Mine's a vapor. As I was preparing and getting ready to preach, and as I was praying before I came forward, I just thought, Lord, how fast time goes. It seems like 20 minutes ago we was here. 20 minutes from now seemed like we'll be retired and on the other side of eternity. But if Jesus hadn't come, you don't have any hope. You don't have any reason to be here. We may as well just pack the bags, walk out, shut the door, and just consign ourselves. But here's the wonderful, awesome, powerful truth. He has come. Amen? And we're going to celebrate it in a couple of weeks. We're going to celebrate the resurrection. Celebrate the resurrection. Why? Because, listen, the story of God is this. I love you, I care for you, and I will do what is necessary so that I can give you eternal life, so I can cancel your sins, so I can forgive your sins, so I can make you right when it comes time to the end of your life. You see, the reality about it is time goes by so fast. And the reality is that, you know, we don't know what a day holds. But when you look at the cross, and you look at the crucifixion, and you look at those two thieves hanging one on each side, one on the right, one on the left. I love the one that just simply says, remember me. You know, you don't have a life to offer God. He's lived a criminal life and he's getting his just execution. But here's what Jesus says. Today. Today means within the 24-hour time frame, basically. In other words, within 24 hours, you're going to be with me in paradise. Now here's the wonder. And I want you to look at the last one. And here's the awesome truth. Jesus has come. Jesus has come. And so here's the reality. Forgiveness of sins. All your sins. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I love to hear somebody say that, because walk with me for just a moment and think. Let's go back to the very beginning of the Bible. Okay, Moses. Moses had a good track record, didn't he? Well, even if you've not read it but saw it, you know, Moses killed an Egyptian. Any of you ever been guilty of murder? Don't answer that if you have. Jesus said if you have hate. But look on a little bit further. You have Abraham, he sort of a trickster. He told, when they went to a certain location, he said, let's concoct this story so my life will be rescued. Then you walk on down the pages of Scripture and you see David. David had a sexual affair with Bathsheba and had a baby by her and did some things that were unpleasing. Didn't just stop there. He didn't repent after he had sex. He said, I've got to figure out a way to squelch this story. I'm going to have her husband released from the military, let him go back and lie with her, and then I'll be safe. You ever notice God will make sure your sins are found out? Remember, Scripture, be sure your sins. But listen, did God say, David, I can't use you? Did God say, Moses, I can't use you? Abraham, I can't use you? And fast forward to the life of Paul. What a life. Paul made it real clear. He said, talking about a sinner, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the top of the line. If you're putting them in a race, I'm the number one. And Paul found the grace of God. And here's the reality, friend. I know some of you will have a hard time believing what I'm getting ready to say to you, because it sounds too good to be true. But it does not matter what you've done in life. Jesus Christ shed his blood and paid for it in full. Amen? If there's not some sin that's been paid for, then Jesus didn't do his job. Jesus didn't take care of your sin, and we're all in a mess. But he did. And think about it. When you bow your head and ask God to forgive you, say, well, my prayer gets me forgiveness. No, it doesn't. Your prayer identifies with what you've done, and it's the blood of Christ that has secured your forgiveness. And say, Father, forgive me for what I've done, for what I've said, for how I've lived, for how I've acted, and it's forgiven. And you know what I'm like. It's just like that warm bath, you know, that the Holy Spirit just lets you know. And that's the reality. Listen, this Jesus, and Paul made it very clear, to some, he's a stumbling block. To some of you, he's a stumbling block. You want Jesus when there's an emergency, but when it comes to living your daily life, you really don't want him. You know, sort of, Jesus, get on the back burner. But to those who have eternal life, to those who are serious, there is something about that name. You see, the truth about it is, when Jesus walked to the cross, here's what happened. He walked to the cross not to give us pageants, pageantry, but he knew that he was the Lamb of God. He was the only Lamb of God. And what he did, he took away all the lying, the cheating, the murder, the thieving, all of that, all of the sin of all mankind. The Bible says, basically, here's how it works out. He took all the sin of the world in himself, and he gives you the chance to be Jesus. He gives you his righteousness. You say, and that's exactly what happens. All the sin of all time wrapped up in this one person. But you know the sad reality about it? There's a lot of people who are going to say, I don't need Jesus. Now, listen carefully. Jesus is not like us. He is not pushy. If you don't want Jesus, he will not push himself on you. You know some people in life, they're pushy and they'll make. No. There's a lot of people that have died without Jesus because he wooed them a few times and they decided, I've got things in life to do, places to go, people to see, and I'll get to that somewhere down the road. Maybe they contracted a disease and they couldn't invite Christ into their life. Maybe they met with an untimely accident. You say, well, that is so sad that somebody would just, you know, be cast into hell. And no, because I want you to listen to me real carefully. No person accidentally goes to hell. There's not a soul accidentally in hell. Every soul in hell is there because of willful, deliberate, intentional rejection of the cross, of the blood, of the Lamb of God, who is the only one to take away their sins. You may or may not go to heaven. You may be one that when I get 65, 70, are you sure? But here's the reality. Jesus has done it all. He has paid it all. There's nothing left for him to do. And sometimes we say, well, it's so sad that person died the way they did. But you see, somewhere in their life, they had an opportunity. I never will forget giving a man a ride some years ago. His name was Shorty. That's what he was called. He was Shorty. And he hung around one of the garages there. And I gave him a ride. And I asked him about his faith in the Lord. And he said, I'm not a Christian. I said, Shorty, you don't have to go to hell, do you? He said, no, don't guess. I said, if you don't have to go to hell, then why are you? Now I want to ask you this question, friend. If you're lost, you don't have to go to hell. Then why are you? God's not going to look at the body of work in your life and say, the good outweighs the bad, like this scales right here. You know, he did a little more good than bad, and I'll take him to heaven. No. If you're unrepentant, there is no hope for you unless you turn to Christ. So many are going to be banished. Because Jesus makes it clear, whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Gone for eternity. Loved, but lost. Father loved you, gave you opportunity, but you said, nah, I'll take my chances. If you choose to, you can. But you know this, somewhere in your heart, somewhere in your life, there was that time that God spoke to you and you said no. Why don't you trust Him today? How do you place your faith in Christ, some may ask? By simply repenting of your sins and by praying a simple childlike prayer with all of your heart. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know without you I'm going to miss heaven. Lord Jesus, I ask you and invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Father, thank you so much for shedding your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us hope and giving us life and giving us an eternity to all who believe. And Lord, so many just spurn your name. Lord, I pray for that person here that is without Christ. Lord, they're going to live forever. You've said it in your word. So, Father, I pray for them. Draw them this morning is our prayer. In Jesus we pray.